Blog Talk Radio.
They were watching his power. They were watching the large crowds that were following him. And as the crowds grew larger and his oratory more impressive, I mean, when Hitler spoke, when this man stood before 50 and 100 and 200,000 people, he wooed a crowd like no man on earth had ever done. As I watched this parade of this emissary, this ambassador from hell himself called Barack Hussein Obama, got y'all in a trance. And is trying to bring deception all over the world. And all of the world was watching as Hitler was amassing his power and talking about how he was going to change the world and talking about the things he was going to do about Germany and making her the greatest race and the greatest people that there ever was. And yet no one did a thing. They had likened him, Barack Hussein Obama, to John Fitzgerald Kennedy, our president of America. They likened Barack to him. And then they likened him to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., which I screamed and railed, don't do that. But Nat, you don't hear them say that anymore. You know why? Because he's so far out ahead of John Kennedy, Kennedy never had the popularity and power that this man, I mean, Kennedy would pray for having half of the kind of popularity that Barack had. And Dr. King, I mean, Stokely Carmichael, Rap Brown, Huey Newton, Bobby Seale, and a whole lot of other people, black people were fighting against Dr. King. Barack got a kind of unity. King, Lord, if King could have had the unity that Barack had, my God. You know, can I take it one step further? Can I preach this? Not even Jesus is as popular as Barack is. I mean, Billy Graham must be having a fit. He must be one that I've been crusading for 50 years, and I've never been able to draw the kind of crowd that Barack has. The Pope was here in April, and he only got a few people, but Barack gets everybody. Well, let me repeat that. He gets all of y'all. There's one man standing. He's James David Manning, and I'm not going to bow down. But they watched this man build and amass this power of world domination, and the world that should have been stood by and did nothing. And yet he spoke. And when Hitler stood, the people would come. And you can see, if you go back and look at some of the old newsreels of Hitler's speeches, you'll see the people were standing there in awe. Hail Hitler, they would say. You could see the look on their faces as if they were in some sort of trance. And this man spoke with eloquence. This man spoke with power. This man spoke with determination. And every German fell down at his feet and worshiped him. His idea and design was to take charge of the world. Now, I know you see where I'm going with this. And I know you see what's happening. All Barack Hussein Obama needs is a mustache.
That's all.
That's all he needs, and an outstretched right arm. And we are repeating history all over again. All over again. Men, women, and children pledged a dying loyalty to Hitler. Hell, Hitler! They pledged a loyalty to him that had never been given to any man that had walked this earth before. They loved him, and they worshiped him. You know, I've talked with a large number of people that support Barack. They come around, and I see in their eyes, and they're saying really what their eyes tell us. I can't help it. I know you told me not to, but Pastor, I can't help it. I love that man. I know you told me, Pastor. I know you told me. I know you're angry with me. I know, but I love that man, and I can't help myself. There's just something about him. I don't know what it is, but there's just something about Barack Obama. I love him, Pastor. I love him. I know. I don't want you to be mad with me, Pastor, but I love this man. I love him. I mean, this man, Hitler, had such an influence over the world that everybody was afraid to stand up against him. Not even the Catholic Church, when Hitler was taking the property of Jews and carting them off to those stations where they were killed, the Catholic Church remained silent. Not one pope, not one priest, not one person. They allowed this man with his charismatic speech and his great oratory and his ability to sway tens of thousands of people. And no one, not even the pope, raised his voice against the atrocities, the murdering that he was doing. And it went on. And no one stood against this marauding power of hell.
Dr. C. Robert Jones, Conservative Radio Report. Today's date is April 29, 2011, Washington, D.C., Planet Earth, third planet from the sun, the Black Chamber of Commerce, CEO, said today, this morning, on fine, super hot Laura Ingraham's show, that the Obama administration might as well put on the brown shirts and the swastikas. Does God still rule, or are we ruled by Barack Hussein, baby Jesus, Obama? Well, the Black Chamber of Commerce, Harry Alford, president and CEO of the National Black Chamber of Commerce, blasted President Obama's anti-business administration in an explosive interview, which I'm going to play for you in just a couple of minutes. Alford, a 2008 Obama supporter, labeled the administration Marxist and fanatical. He stated, and I quote once more, "They might as well put on the brown shirts and swastikas." Wow. He also admitted that he voted for Obama simply because he's black. He voted for Obama simply because he's black. Finally, a national black group has come out and said what most of America is thinking right now, that Barack Hussein Obama is anti-business, pro-government, socialist, Marxist, and damn near communist. America is waking up, folks. And not a moment too soon, because the election campaign is coming right up. And I'm going to go right ahead right now and play the clip from Laura Ingraham's show, where she interviews, once again, President and CEO of the National Black Chamber of Commerce. Now, some of you black folk out there, you'll label this man Uncle Tom, or you'll go with the crab in the barrel theory, or you might go with, well, he's just an Obama hater. He can't stand to see another black man rise up. But, you know, this is a businessman, and America really needs business right now. We really need to get on about the business of being about the business. And this black man, this CEO of the National Black Chamber of Commerce, finally some black folks are coming out and telling it like it is. And let's play the clip right now of the interview between Laura Ingraham
about Harry Alford,
and Harry Alford.
CEO of something called the National Black Chamber of Commerce, and he's a 2008 Obama supporter. And it struck me as interesting because you don't see much in the way of dissent on the left when it comes to African-American support for Obama. I mean, here and there, there's some issues. But not much, right? I mean, there have been a lot of people on the anti-war left who have been upset with Obama on things like Afghanistan and Iraq and Libya. And then, of course, there have been people who think we should have gone for universal health care instead of the Obamacare, and they were kind of mad on the left. But African Americans have hung pretty tight with the president, and I think that's for a variety of reasons. We've discussed this on the show before. But now there's an interesting issue brewing among business owners, and we thought we'd bring on Harry Alford from the National Black Chamber of Commerce to tell us what's going on, and he joins us now. Hey, Mr. Alford, how are you?
Fine, Laura. How are you?
Good. Are you on a speakerphone? When you're on a show where millions of people are listening to you, don't put me on a speakerphone. It's a sign of great disrespect.
Oh,
I know
I'm
you
sorry.
Didn't mean that. No, I know you didn't. No, I know you didn't mean that. But I'm just like, if my producers did that, you know, they would, you know, be walking out the door right now. So, listen, Harry, I'm interested in what's going on here because I know there are two competing organizations out there. What has happened and why is this relevant to the current business conversation in the country?
Well, Obama wanted the National Black Chamber to dance to his music and have blind allegiance to his crazy programs and agenda, which are totally anti-business. We are a pro-business organization, so we have to stand on the side of business and for the benefit of our members, which are entrepreneurs, black entrepreneurs. So he decided that he was going to show the National Black Chamber something. He was going to form his own Chamber of Commerce, and it was formed in the White House, believe it or not. And they've got these, I don't know what they are, they're not business people, saying they're a Chamber of Commerce. So we're suing that so-called chamber in federal court now for trademark infringement. But it was items like the gainful employment rule, which we are fighting. He wants to take away financial aid for students and for-profit schools or career colleges. He wants to take it away because he says their income will be too low to pay off the college tuition, which is a lie. They'll pay it off. And this is their chance to leave poverty and to get into the workforce. And we need an educated workforce. Our businesses are growing. We're the fastest growing segment of small businesses. When Kay and I started the National Black Chamber of Commerce in 1993, there were 300,000 black-owned businesses. Today, there's 1.9 million black-owned businesses. We're growing at 60% every 5 years. So we need an educated workforce to meet the demand of employees and the growth of those businesses. So he says, I'm going to destroy you. And in the White House, our White House, the People's White House, they have conspired to destroy the National Black Chamber of Commerce. It won't work. We have loyal members, we have a mission, and we bring in billions of dollars into the African-American community. But for that, I'm going to have to go to war with them.
Well, I think people around the country who are hearing this, they're trying to figure out why this is. And I have a theory. And you and I disagree, by the way, on...
All right, Laura has a theory. And I have not heard that theory just yet. But here's my theory. The White House has apparently established its own black chamber of commerce from the White House. If it weren't so tragic, it would be insanely funny, but it's not. And the reason why they've done so, in my opinion, before we hear Laura's opinion, is that they know that the legitimate Black Chamber of Commerce has no interest in Barack Obama's socialist Marxist agenda. None, mind you. And that the Black Chamber of Commerce that has been around for so many years and established so much in the community is a threat to Barack Obama's socialist agenda. So in order to wipe them out, or marginalize them, Obama has started a identical organization designed to supersede an already established Black Chamber of Commerce. Does that make any sense? Let's hear what Laura thinks, though.
A lot of issues, and if we have time, we'll get into those. But on this issue, I find it fascinating. I come at it from a free market perspective. Okay, I look at the landscape of this country right now. I see we spent $1 trillion on a stimulus. I see we've spent $1.2 trillion initially on the down payment on Obamacare. I see $14 trillion in debt. I see China on the rise and India on the rise and America 70% believing we're on the wrong track. The way that African Americans and all Americans are going to have a better life is if we grow the gross domestic product of this country and become more productive. In my mind, the core moves that this administration has made has been anti-business. Do you disagree?
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. He is anti-business, and it and my wife tells me not to say this, but it's starting to look Marxist to me.
Marxist? You voted for him.
The worst mistake I ever made in my life.
Why did you vote for him?
Because he was black. And that is a lesson that I will take to my grave.
So you felt compelled to vote for him, and that's an honest answer, which I appreciate.
It was hope. But, you know, hope isn't hiring. Hope isn't lowering the price of gasoline. You know, this kind of hope is he wants, and he said it to the San Francisco Chronicle. You can look this up. He wanted the price of gasoline to go to $6 to $7 a gallon so that we can reduce our carbon footprint. He said this, and he's doing it. It's $5 a gallon right now in D.C. and still rising about a nickel every 3 or 4 days. It's crazy. And he's smiling.
Well, what do you think about his?
This guy is dangerous.
Well, what do you think about his statement the other day after Donald Trump and all that birth certificate thing? And he said, look, it's time to get serious and we have to leave these sideshows behind. And then he hopped off to be with Oprah and then went off to the fundraisers.
Yeah, his serious is dangerous. I love this country too much to be quiet about this guy. He is wrecking us.
You know what? When you have a guy with the gravitas of the CEO of the National Black Chamber of Commerce blasting the President of the United States for being dangerous, anti-business, Marxist, and pretty much Hitler in blackface, that's some powerful stuff. This guy has got to go. This guy has got to go. President Obama needs to have a one-way ticket back to Chicago or Hawaii or Indonesia or wherever else the hell we can give him a one-way ride back to on Air Force Two back home in 2012. The guy is a disaster. These are serious times. I'm going to go ahead and throw a little down from the American president, and we need a serious president. When Barack Obama stands up in front of the crowd, in front of the cameras, in front of the teleprompter, and says that he doesn't have time for sideshows and carnival barkers and the like, that these are serious times and we need to get serious. And then immediately, the very same day, jets off to do Oprah's show and laughs and cackles with the ladies like he's one of those little hens. No disrespect to the ladies. Not intended. Sits and cackles and laughs and giggles like a schoolgirl. And then jets off to New York to do 3 fundraisers, tying up New York traffic for hours on end. Hopefully he lost quite a few votes that day. Spends countless amounts of our money for fundraisers for his campaign in the Democratic Party. Now, I reported on my show 3 months ago that the Air Force put out the numbers for what it cost to run Air Force One for an hour. It cost Air Force One approximately $200,000 an hour. approximately, to run that plane. And this is what he's spending our money on. Now, you would think if a president is going to say, we need, this is, these are serious times and we're serious people and we need to get on about the business of being serious about our debt and investing and all that, he would shag his bony ass right back to the White House, get behind his desk and do his job. Dude should be impeached right now for lack of, just for not doing his job. It's a disgrace. Let's get back to Laura.
Time that we need to be strong. He is dangerous. And I'm going to do all I can to get the black community 1 to 2 to 3 million votes to go to whoever runs against him.
Do you like Donald Trump?
He's a businessman. I think he's a little shaky on a few things, but he's tough. He knows business, and we're pro-business.
Mm-hmm. Did you think that President Obama's experience when during the campaign, he obviously had never run anything, he'd never made a payroll, he'd never done any of the things that all of your members have done. Did that worry you at all at the time? I mean, any of that lack of experience, criticism, that didn't resonate at all?
Oh, yeah, but we were always finding ways. Well, he'll get good people. He'll get great people. Well, he didn't get great people. You know, it's Arne Duncan, Secretary of Education. He wrecked the Chicago school system. They're still picking up the pieces in Chicago, and he makes him Secretary of Education. He's in way over his head, and it's showing with this gainful employment rule.
Jeb Bush thinks Arne Duncan is pretty great, I think. A lot of Republicans like Arne Duncan.
I disagree with Jeb Bush on that one. And I sit on the board of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, you know, and I listen and talk to CEOs, and everybody thinks this guy is in over his head.
Well, guess who said that in the campaign? I mean, in 2007, when I saw Obama on the rise, my first comment, I think almost the first comment I made is, who is he? What has he ever done? I mean, he might be the nicest guy ever and might be kind of cool to hang out with and might be good at something else. He might be great at some other type of job, but you can't go in to running the biggest economy and the biggest military in the world and have no experience except sitting in Reverend Wright's church and hanging out on the community organizing stuff. I mean, that just doesn't cut it.
He's a neophyte, and he is supposed to be the leader of the free world. We are in trouble. When Sarkozy, when the prime minister, president of France, becomes the leader of the free world over the United States president, we are in big trouble.
Why do you think African Americans still overwhelmingly support this president? And
is it
waning. Just skin color?
That is waning. I used to talk about him, and people would boo me or criticize me. Now they're all nodding their heads. It is waning. I think he will not get 35% of the black vote next time around. He will not, and that's going to kill him.
That's some powerful stuff. You know, the biggest complaint. Well, the second biggest complaint, besides this guy being just a complete and utter failure, a neophyte, being a complete and utter boob, as dumb as a box of rocks, Mike Dogg is smarter than Barack Hussein Obama. I mean, I'm telling it like it is. This guy is a disaster. Just like he said. And more importantly, Barack Hussein Obama is dangerous. He is dangerous to this country. He has got to go. 2012, get out there. Get out there and send this smug, arrogant moron back to Chicago. Let him do his speaking tours. Let him go out and he can become president of Germany if he wants or some other place. But he's got to get the hell out of here. Because, damn.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that would be stunning. No, but that would be stunning if he didn't get at least 70% of the black vote.
People are hurting. I mean, the mortgage modification program has a success rate of 7%. African Americans lost 35% of their net worth in this subprime scandal. And he doesn't care.
But how is you're a Democrat though, right?
No, I'm a registered independent. I voted for George Bush both times.
Oh, okay. But I'm looking at the background I have on you. You said that Clarence Thomas was a self-hating black. Did you say that at one point?
Yeah, I think he's got some problems. I do.
You know what I want to do? After talking to you just for a few minutes, I think you have your head screwed on straight. I think you have a really interesting perspective. I'd like you to meet Clarence Thomas. I work for him. He's one of my closest friends. I adore him. He's just one of these people who would walk across glass for his friends and is brilliant and is a patriot and, you know, pulled himself up out of a really difficult situation as a kid with the help of his grandfather. And I'm telling you, you and he sound a lot alike on these issues. So
Laura. I'm judging from afar. I'd love to meet him.
Yeah, I don't know. I like what I'm hearing from you. And look, he's not a political person. He's a justice. But I just think the kind of the independent streak and, you know, believing in individual initiative and not government handouts. And I mean, the worst thing to do is make black people or white people or Latino people dependent on a government handout.
Absolutely.
I mean, we've seen what they've done to education. They've ruined education. The government has ruined it in this country.
Well, my...
You know, do we need anything more? You know, I talk to black folks all the time. By the way, I'm black. No. I'm not African-American. You know, because in my mind, the only African-American, the only person or group that can call themselves African-American... Even if there is such a thing, because I don't believe in these Italian Americans and Spanish American and Jewish American. No. We're here in the United States of America. You're American, all right? Because if you want to be Spanish American, take your ass back to Spain. You know, come on. So I believe that I am black. I am black. Because you know what? We as black people are the only race of people who changed who we are, what title we have, you know, three different times in my lifetime, from Negro to black to African American. Yeah, I don't believe in that. Okay, so just for the record, I'm black, and I talk to black people all the time. That's right, Bill. Start impeachment proceeds right now. Right now, the guy is not just because he's not doing his job. Forget all the other stuff. His job is to protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And to bear allegiance to the same. He took the same oath I took. And damn it, he's not doing that. And an impeachment proceeding should go just for that alone. Pile on the other stuff is just extra. It's just extra goodness. Extra deliciousness to pile on to his political grave. Because, you know what? Black folks, you know, a lot of black folks are still all about, well, you know, how come you're not following him? You know, you should, he's black, you black. How come stand by him because he's black. What? It's not about love for America for some of these folks. It's about hate for America, and they know that dude is going to somehow right their wrongs or the wrongs of their ancestors, and America be damned. Just like Reverend Wright said, not God bless America, God damn America. Because in the end, and I'm telling you from a black man's perspective, most of these black folks here I know, they could give less than a damn about America. For them, it's not about America. It's about getting something for nothing or righting some perceived slight or righting some wrong that they themselves never suffered. All the time I'm hearing about slavery, and black folks in slavery and for 400 years or 400 years for 400 years. I don't want to hear that crap anymore. Because for 400 years, you were never there. You know, compared to our ancestors, compared to even 30 years ago, 60 years ago, most of these black folks I talk to who are complaining about what Whitey did 60, 70, 80 years ago, these are their words, Whitey and cracker, they never suffered. Most black folks are living like kings compared to blacks who lived in the 30s, 40s, and even in the 50s. Even the poorest black person is living so far above anything that our great-grandfathers were able to enjoy. It's not even funny. So that whole crap about we need reparations and we need to come up and rise up, get out of here. Do your job. Live your life. But no. I talk to black folks all the time, and all they're talking about is Barack Obama. And he's an historic, he's the first black man elected to office, the first black man. Okay, so when you go fill up your gas tank, how much of that historic black president thing helps you fill up your tank? I wonder. And when you head off to the grocery store to get those all-important groceries, how much of that historic black president thing helps you fill up that grocery cart? How much? Let's get back to Laura.
Well, it was Booker T. Washington.
So was his.
Yeah, well, he told African Americans, get educated. You can't be free without education. Form your own businesses. This country is about entrepreneurship. Have a strong faith in God and communicate with each other.
Harry, why do we need a black chamber of commerce? You're already on the board of the regular chamber of commerce, which is also a good friend of this show, and they sponsor our daily fix. So, but why do we need a black chamber of commerce?
I worked in Indianapolis for the state of Indiana as a deputy commissioner for minority business development. And what I saw, at the time Indianapolis had maybe 4,000 Hispanics, but they had a Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, which organized their businesses, and they had presence in the mayor's office and the governor's office, CEOs. They were doing well to represent themselves and to get their businesses entrenched into the private and public sectors. Indianapolis had 230,000 blacks and had no business organization. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I came up with the idea of having a black chamber of commerce to put our issues front and forward,
But your issues are business issues. I just think we got to get away from the black this, the Latino that, the Pacific Islander this, the women's. I mean, we're all in this. We're all in this struggling. Well, I mean, right? I mean, at this point.
Well, you got the Italian Business League. You got the Pan Hellenic Business
League. I didn't even know about the Italians. You're kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Where have I been? I miss the Italian. I'm Polish, so I missed all that.
My guy in Atlanta, I was catching hell when he was starting his chamber in Atlanta, and he got the Yellow Pages and did a press conference and read off all of these ethnic business associations in Atlanta from the Yellow Pages. And he said, well, why can't we have a black one? What's wrong with
that? We have one. It's just Obama doesn't recognize it. Oh, I bet you're not going to be invited to the next state dinner, Harry. That's my view. You're not going anywhere.
Here's the thing, Dr. Ooh-wee. I love that name, though, by the way. I've got that tune. Ooh-wee. Got that song somewhere around here. But, you know, here's the thing, Doc. President Obama is a disaster. He is not doing his job. And black and educated doesn't have anything to do with that. It doesn't have anything to do with anything. Dr. Ooh-wee, you have. Dr. Ooh-wee, listen to me. when you go to the gas station tomorrow or the next day or the next day to fill up your car, I want you to understand with your education, you being an educated person, that when you swipe your debit or credit card or go in to pay that cash, that your car cost more to fill up because your black president, Barack Hussein Obama, doesn't want us to using gasoline-powered vehicles. He wants us to buy electric cars. And so he's going to do everything he can to discourage us from using gasoline-powered vehicles. That's why he's doing absolutely nothing about the high price of fuel. He doesn't care that it's going to cost you more, because he believes that if it costs you more, you won't use too much more of it. That's why he said, under my plan of cap and trade, electric bills will necessarily skyrocket. See, he didn't have a problem with your electric bill necessarily skyrocketing, Dr. Uwee, because his goal was for you not to use as much electricity as you normally do so you could save the planet. So he was willing to charge, have an exorbitant amount of, an astronomical amount of money come out of your pocket so that you would decide, or he would decide for you, Dr. Uwee, that you turn down that thermostat. You'd go get those fancy new light bulbs. And basically he would be controlling you and what you do and how you live your life by tapping into your pocket. So the next time, Dr. Uwee, you go fill up your car or you go to buy yourself some groceries at the grocery store, I want you to think about that, that your black historic president is controlling you, or at least he's attempting to, that your black historic president, the first black man to win the office of the presidency, is pretty much destroying the country that your grandfather and great-grandfathers and ancestors helped build. That he's destroying all that. So when you go and pull that lever for that historic black man next time around, if you're not on foot when you do it, because by the time the election rolls around, in 2012, you're probably going to have to be on foot or on a bicycle. So when you're huffing and puffing up that hill to get to the polling place, because you can't afford the $7 a gallon gas, and pull that lever for that black man, that historic black president, remember, you won't be able to blame George W. Bush for that. Or maybe you will. Oh, caller on the line. It must be you, Dr. Uwee. Uwee. La, 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 la. All right, Dr. Uwee.
Yes, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Someone told me the show would be like this. First, let's just go ahead and just be respectful. We have you. I sense the connotation in your voice and everything with the Uwee. All of that, I guess that's for your fans. But
no.
What
it's
I was
just
basically
a, I'm
saying,
sorry.
Just
hold on,
to be
hold
in
on.
Context of... Go
hold
ahead.
Hold on, Doc. It's just a... When it says Dr. Uwee, I just think of the song. That's all. With
right,
it's a
Tina Marie thing, right?
No, it's not Tina Marie. It's a guy who recently passed away, a rapper, and another guy who does a song called Ooh Wee. The song I was just kind of singing it, and it just reminds me of the song. I'm not trying to make fun of it.
It was a Tina Marie thing. No, it's not a fun of it, just a connotation of the tone you use. But, no, I was just saying that whether you were anti-Obama. See, the thing about it is, is that I understand the gas prices are what they are, but be understandable, my friend. The gas prices would have been the same whether it was a McCain, a Hillary Clinton, or whoever else that would have been in office, because that is just the way the things were flowing and things the way things were going. I don't think Mr. Obama, whom I am a Republican, black at that. I'm a member of the Black Chamber of Commerce in Moreno Valley. But the fact of it is it, regardless of who were in office, the prices would be what they are today. We can't point a finger at him. We must take a consideration that we are actually on a slope. We were just falling, and we just had nothing to grab onto. And we will fall for a little while longer, I do believe. And whether they point the finger at Barack Obama, George Bush, or Clinton don't really matter. The fact of it is we just got to get out of it. So I don't think labeling him as either the best president or the worst president is going to fix any of that. The results must come regardless.
Well, you know what? I agree with you. I agree with you 100%.
Okay.
For me, you know, Barack Obama he's canceled or set moratoriums on drilling. He's canceled oil drilling leases in Oklahoma, Texas, and other parts of the United States. He's made it more and more difficult for American companies to drill, and he's made it more and more difficult for foreign companies to drill. He has subsidized several other nations or pledged to subsidize two other nations that I'm aware of, not several, two other nations that I'm aware of to drill oil, giving them our money to do so that we can buy oil from them. He is not doing what?
I mean, I would have to I stated in the chat room, we're both educated men. I would trust what you are saying, but of course I would have to verify. So therefore, I cannot accept or deny what's being said. I have to get the facts of my own. But from knowing what I do know, there has been a major situation off of Texas, out in the Gulf, where the situation with the oil spilling and all the rest. And whether he shut down a few and what's the reason for, I just do not know. And I will take this in his defense, and I'll just say that, leave it at that, in his defense. It was a comment that came about a while ago, and it said that he had voted against some type of drilling or what have you with oil or whatever. He said that he voted against it. And then he said, I made a mistake then because I was nothing more than just a senator. When you are president, things change, and you see the whole sphere for what it is, and not from just one side. And so I just say that in his defense. Are you there, Michael?
Well, yeah. I'm just taking in what you're saying here. You know, we're both old enough to recall the last time gas prices went up. And it was under the Bush administration. And the Bush administration was vilified for not doing enough to provide for our oil consumption needs. When President Clinton presided over a similar issue back in 2000, 2001, Republicans were blamed. When in the 70s, Republicans were blamed. Barack Obama is not receiving any blame whatsoever for anything that's happening here. Black folks are finding reasons to absolve this guy of any responsibility for anything that goes wrong. And I think they're doing it simply because he's black. You know, it's not about...
You're saying they're vilifying Barack because he's black?
No, not. Nobody's finding fault with Barack Obama for anything that he does wrong. Black folks, liberal white folks, it's all about, well, you know, he's doing the best he can. And, you know, he inherited all of this. And he's
so
brilliant.
No, we can't accept that. Well, of course, we cannot accept that. We first and foremost, I voted for the intellect and the mind itself. Color came after he won. Then the pride
okay,
just came.
Okay, what intellect does Barack Obama have? He was an average student at best. My dog is smarter than Barack Obama.
Barack Obama was not an average student. If we must go there, Mr. George W. Bush was a below average, actually mildly retarded.
Well, apparently, hold on. Let's hold on for just 1 minute.
Sure.
Barack Obama himself stated in his book that he was a below average student, that he was a C average student throughout much of his scholastic career in college.
Correct.
Now wait, no, he stated that himself. Now, we know because George W. Bush went ahead and released his records that he was a C average student. And mildly retarded, I take issue with that because George W. Bush was an F-4 Phantom fighter pilot, and you don't get to do that being mildly anything. I, myself, flew the
he
F-4.
Was his father.
No.
His father
no.
was the governor.
His father was not sitting in the Phantom flying it, ooh-wee. Doctor,
father
doctor.
Was the governor. I didn't say Phantom
doctor.
Flying.
Okay, all right. No, my point is, not only was George Bush, he was a C-average student, but he flew one of the hardest fighters that one can fly, hardest fighter to fly, which is an F-4 Phantom. And you don't get to do that by being mildly retarded or stupid or dumb. And not only do I take issue with that on a personal level, because I flew the Phantom and the A-4 and the A-6 and the F-18, I would challenge you, Doctor, with whatever intellect you have, to get inside one of those fighters and get it down the runway, least of all.
I really don't understand where all this is going because monkey did go into the spaceships and did go out towards the moon.
A monkey didn't fly it. You know
but,
what?
Oh,
I'm, you know
all
what?
Of
here's,
that
here's
is
where
not,
we're going.
Not grasping where we're going.
Here's where we're going with
the context.
All right,
sure.
Here's the context. Intellect.
Yes.
Barack Obama.
Yes.
Didn't have a job until he was 33 years old, or he worked at some place like Tasty Freeze or something. He sold ice cream. He didn't have a job until he was in his 30s. He won't even release his records except to state in his own book that
what
he
records?
Was his scholastic records, his
okay.
college transcripts. He won't release those. At least George Bush released his, and Barack Obama himself.
I think
his
that's
book,
an intellect not to release them.
Barack Hussein Obama stated himself that he was a C-average student. How do you get to be so smart being a C-average student? I pulled all A's.
I think it's one
so,
of the level of modesty.
So if you go, if you go, with
that.
If you go, if you voted for intellect, then you,
I
sir,
voted for intellect.
Then you, sir, are a fool. And I, you know
okay,
what? I don't mean to disrespect you. You are a fool because
well,
in
I,
that
I don't.
Case,
I don't think you can actually say fool in any context and not
well,
be disrespectful.
You vote for a man. You vote for a man based on his intellect.
I vote for a man based on his intellect.
Then you should have voted for me. I should have ran because I'm a whole lot smarter than Barack Obama ever was. All right. so
wow.
Maybe you could have voted for me. Or maybe GDT 183. Maybe GDT 183. Maybe he got all A's in high school. So maybe you should have voted for him. Shouldn't you vote
okay.
for him?
Well, I don't want to make this into a personal attack. I'm not actually calling to attack you.
No,
I don't
I'm
want you to think
you.
That we cannot be friends after this.
Yes,
what I'm only saying is that according to the context of what's being said and what I was hearing, it just seems as if it was a cesspool of information that was only one-sided. That's all, my friend. And whether
yeah.
it is the fact that, you know, he is not qualified or whether his records are stating whatever it may be, I
obviously
really
not
think.
Qualified.
Well, I think we will beg to differ later, but
mm-hmm.
I think the whole premise of all of this is that we have really a lot of either animosity, a lot of grudge or whatever that may be that are held up over the course of, I don't know, days, years, weeks, or whatever it may be. And we need a finger, somebody on the other end of the finger to point it at. He is the best candidate for such. I know he accepts the challenge. I really believe this world is the better because this country is the better because, well, actually, the world is better because he is in office, not because he's black. I don't want to go there because to say that he's black is to minimize everything that he's there for.
Hold on a minute, doctor.
Yes,
why do you think the world is better off because he's president? Why?
I think the world is better because he is a left thinker. He is out of the box type of thinker. He actually got many things done many presidents tried. Well, the healthcare thing.
All right, hold on a minute. The healthcare thing. How old are you, doctor? May I ask?
Sure, I am 41 years of age.
You're 41 years old. I'm 49. Pretty soon, you and I are going to feel the full weight of Obama's healthcare thing. Just because he got that done doesn't mean it's going to be good for us.
Oh, all right, gosh.
Now let's move on to the next thing.
Well, we didn't
what else
exhaust.
Has he done?
What else has he done to move on to the next?
Well, what has he done to make the United States more prosperous? Safer, because polls are out that say that Americans are feeling more and more that we're moving in the wrong direction with under Obama's presidency. Americans are saying that President Obama isn't doing the job that he's supposed to be doing.
Barack Obama?
Oh, hell no.
So whatever route he goes, I'm pretty much safe to say that you would never be satisfied with it.
Oh, no, no. Here's what I'd be satisfied with. I'd be satisfied with Barack Obama if he were pro-business, if he talked about all Americans instead of some Americans, if he were not a socialist, if he were more in line with John F. Kennedy, I'd be satisfied. With his president, I would not.
Okay,
well, I would. If he were more in line with even fucking, I'm sorry. If he were in line even with Jimmy Carter, I would be satisfied. Let me tell you something, doctor. I voted for Bill Clinton over George Sr. because I thought he would do a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. He did do a pretty good job. He did a far better job as president than this clown. Barack Obama is doing. I voted for Bill Clinton.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What is the premise of this show?
The premise of this show is to talk about political events that happen during the course of a day. For example, if there's news that's happening in the morning, I don't care what it is. If it has anything to do with Obama or not, most of the time it does. Or whatever the news of the day is, events of the day, I'll put it out there, I'll put it on the blog talk page, and then I'll invite folks to come on and talk about it with me. Today, the news, the bam, right out there news, was the Black Chamber of Commerce CEO calling out Barack Obama. So tomorrow, for example, I've done shows, if you go back and look at some of the shows, I've done shows on Christmas, the war on Christmas. I've done shows about many different topics other than Barack Obama. Today, it's about that clown, and it's about the Black Chamber of Commerce calling him out.
Okay, so you're more in the activist role. You are pretty much the self-grassroots of them all.
I'm really. Here's what I am. I'm not a Black American. I'm not a Black anything.
I don't agree with a Black American either. I think we should all be just Americans.
I'm American. And I'm concerned about America, and I'm concerned about where this country is going. And it's going to hell. And we have a guy in office who talks about being serious, and these being serious times, and no times for carnival barkers and sideshows. And then that moron gets on a plane not a half hour later and heads off to do Oprah's show. The whole world is going to hell in a handbasket, and that moron is sitting between Oprah and some other ugly chick and yucking it up. I'm all
wait,
about
you said
I'm
ugly.
No, listen, if this guy would
Oprah's
go,
ugly?
If he, well, yeah, she's not ugly. She's just not very attractive. But you know,
I say all this
I said,
because the
I said
energy
Oprah
that you're delivering
some, I said,
is.
What said Oprah and some other ugly chick? I'm
right.
not a fan.
Some
I'm
other,
not a
right. It's just, so therefore it's inclusive. I'm just
yeah.
saying because the
yeah.
energy that you're giving is one
mm-hmm.
that is repelling. It just
yeah.
makes it difficult
yeah.
to listen, and it
yeah.
makes it difficult
yeah.
to receive because of such.
Well,
you know,
well
I think
today,
you're a brilliant
today,
guy. I really think
well,
you're
today,
a brilliant
today
guy.
Today I've had a lot. Today I've had a lot of. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Today I've had an awful lot of espresso, and some of this is dedicated as a result of that. But I'm really starting
well,
to become
very... Well, you know,
very...
when it comes to alcohol, drugs, or whatever, that only actually
yeah.
promotes what we actually are. It really
well, exactly.
is no excuse.
And so it's promoting... Right now, it's promoting anger and annoyance because the whole... The United States of America is going down the shitter, and my clown of a president spends his time golfing, going on vacation every couple of weeks, spending all my hard-earned jack, because I actually pay taxes. I don't get a refund at the end of the year, like 49% of America. And he's goofing off when we need a guy who's taking care of business. If he's going to talk about we need serious business and we need to be serious, don't get your moronic ass on a plane and go do Oprah's show. Sit in your office and do your job.
I don't mean to ask this in pun or to make it as if I think less of you, but are you actually doctor, PhD?
Yeah, William and Mary, class of, class of 92.
Oh,
sure.
Okay.
I'm actually, here's what I am. I am a former United States Marine officer. I'm a retired Marine.
Same here.
I joined Marine
here.
Corps March 13th, 1979. I spent
okay.
1 year as an enlisted Marine before I was appointed to the United States Naval Academy in Annapolis. Graduated from
okay.
there, became an officer, was an O-3, commanded a rifle company before, rose to command a rifle company before moving on to flight school,
okay.
retired, and during the course of my military career, I attended Georgetown University, and then
okay.
William and Mary. I'll be completely candid with you. I did not set out for higher education. It was a way to get out of going to Okinawa, and a couple other duty stations I didn't want to go to.
Okay.
And I was married at the time, and a 3-year tour in Maryland, and a 3-year tour in Virginia was a whole lot better than 18 months in Okinawa.
Yeah, Quantico. Yeah, I've been there. I understand. Same. That's pretty much the same of my background as well. 2nd Recon Battalion, OC school and all the rest, 1989.
Mm-hmm.
I actually graduated 1989, ended up in 1990-91. I understand. Actually, I did serve in Okinawa, though. Did not retire because I wanted to do business. Therefore, I am a Republican
okay.
because of such, not because I'm pro anything other than what Republican stands for, but yet I am I just think that's just the better route when it comes to the business that I do. But I just say that because, you know, it's
left.
Just the context, again, it's just the energy
yeah.
that's coming off. And,
10
so,
seconds left.
I really appreciate you having me come through. I guess I'll come back. Maybe we can dialogue later. I'll let you close out the show. Thanks for having me come on.
Thank you. You're very welcome. Thank you, everybody, for being here. I appreciate it, and we'll talk again. Maybe I need to do a longer show. Maybe I need to do 90 minutes instead of 60. Thank you all so much for being here. The C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Show is off the air. Ouch.